Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warez.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Kapp.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Welcome back to the second FAQ from the CIA Ops Need to Know podcast. The idea with these FAQs is to spend a little bit more time and go deep on a particular topic. And again, that will allow us to focus on something that I see a lot of questions out there, or I've received questions from the audience. So if you do have a question, please feel free to email me, director@CIAOps, or hit me up on the Twitter @DirectorCIA, and I can go deep on that topic in one of these FAQs. Now, the previous FAQ, we talked about basically doing data discovery right, which means that before you do any migration, you need to go and have a look at the data you want to migrate, and typically you're going to want to cull this, you're going to want to delete a lot of stuff and potentially archive it. So you're not going to basically do a lift and shift. What you need to do is spend a little bit of time and go through that and make sure that the stuff that you want to bring across is valid and have some idea of where it wants to go and what needs to be structured and what does not need to be restructured. So again, if you haven't listened to that episode, again, it's relatively short. That's the idea with these FAQs. Keep them short and punchy. Go back and have a listen to that, and that will give you a good basis for what we're going to talk about in this episode. Now, this episode is based on a blog post that I wrote called A Framework for File Migrations to Microsoft 365. And the idea is to give people a general outline of locations in which to move data from a on-prem file server into the collaboration space that is now Microsoft 365. Now, it's not just a lift and shift, or it shouldn't be just a lift and shift, simply because there are lots and lots of options here. Certain data makes sense in certain locations, and the idea is to use all of the locations that are available to you. Now, the very first step in this process is that data discovery, is going through your existing data, working out what you need to throw away, what needs to be archived, what you're going to restructure, and have some idea of what the process is going to be. So again, the first step in any sort of move is going to be cleanup. Now, once we've done the cleanup, the next step I would suggest is to look at the data which makes sense going into OneDrive for Business. Now, OneDrive for Business is designed for users, it's for their user data. So things like My Documents, their desktop, a P drive, as in the network home drive that they've been using, that makes sense to move into OneDrive. So the idea here is identify that stuff. And my advice would be is to get the users to move their own data into their own OneDrive for Business. Now, the reason for that is that A, it spreads the load when it comes to migration, but it also, I see it more as a training and adoption tool to get users into an understanding of what moving to the cloud is, what, how to upload files, how to delete files, how to restructure things, how to sync to the desktop. So the first step should be is implementing OneDrive for Business. The other advantage of this is that each OneDrive for Business is a unique area for each user, so the user doesn't feel threatened that if they make a mistake, that everybody will see what they're doing. So again, having their own little play area, their own little training area inside their OneDrive for Business is a big benefit. Now, from the user's point of view, some of the benefits of moving to OneDrive for Business are things like every piece of data they move in there is searchable, it's backed up, it has version control, it allows them to easily share data, it's available on any mobile device. Again, there are a lot of benefits. So that would be the first step I would look at once you've cleaned up your data. Start identifying the specific user data and move that into, and get the users to move that into their OneDrive for Business. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, we have something called Yammer. Now, many people say, well, what value is Yammer? What use does it have in this day and age? Why can't we just use Teams? Yes, you can, but let me give you the reasoning why I think Yammer is a very important part of the adoption process. So Once I've done OneDrive, or at the same time I'm doing OneDrive, I would strongly recommend you look at Yammer. So Yammer is a enterprise-wide social network, and the focus of Yammer is on chat. Now, Teams is great because Teams does incorporate chat, but the problem with Teams is, out of the box, you have to design it. You have to know, what's the team going to be called? What taxonomy am I going to have? What folders am I going to have? What permissions? Who's going to be a member of the team? And that slows the whole adoption process down. Whereas if I give an organization OneDrive, every user's got OneDrive, they've all got access, they can start working on it immediately. And the same thing with Yammer. Yammer is a corporate-wide chat facility, and the idea here is that the information in there is searchable because it's shared in public, and also it reduces things like emails, and it allows users to, again, give easy feedback by likes and so on, rather than having to silo things in email. Now, yes, over time, more conversations will probably move into Teams once that structure has been worked out, but I would suggest to you that Yammer is a really good place to start to give people this feel for this new environment, this new collaboration, this move to the cloud, and get them excited about the whole migration process. So again, the first steps I would implement once the data has been tidied up would be basically implementing OneDrive, and then also implementing Yammer to get the conversation flowing, to get questions happening, to get people an idea of what this new environment's like. Now, the other good thing with both of these is there's minimal impact on the organization. There's nothing we have to configure for Yammer. Yammer's a mobile app. We can have notifications. We can contribute to it via email. So all of that is supported. And again, as I said, over time, probably the Yammer will be targeted at corporate-wide conversations. So things like newsletters, messages from the CEO, company-wide birthdays, announcements, those sort of things. And the more specific stuff will end up going into Teams. Now, once we've got, say, Yammer and OneDrive in place, the next thing to look at would be Teams. Now, the way we start creating Teams is typically by functional location. So every time we create something in our locations here in collaboration, we need to go and ask, is this going to be functional location? Now, for example, if we have a team that is based, that is going to be for the finance division, that's going to be by function. If we're going to have a team based on state or city or whatever, then that's by location. Now, once we create a team, we've got the option to create a number of channels. Again, we ask the same question. Is it by functional location? So we might have a HR team, but then inside we may have channels based on location, by state or by city. Now, as I mentioned, the thing about teams is you do need to put a bit of planning. You do need to sit down and think, okay, what's the right team? How many channels? Who's going to be involved with this? Now, the decision for Teams is going to be where you need to have conversations and storage. Okay, now if you just want conversations, if all you want to do is chat, then something like Yammer is going to fulfill that need. If you want something that's just storage, again, that's probably going to be OneDrive for Business or a standalone SharePoint site. Remember, the right tool for the right job. So Teams is largely going to be where you need to have chat, conversations, and also storage for your documents. And make sure that you do plan those out. Now, typically in most organizations, these will be done basically by function, HR, finance, admin, and these will map to existing directories and shares that you find on file server. So you go and look at the file server today, you'll probably see a share called finance. That could go into a team directly called finance. Underneath that would be a set of subdirectories. They could become channels initially. Now, another important aspect here is to remember that moving to a collaboration space is not necessarily the final move. Over time, it's going to be adjusted, it's going to be updated, it's going to be improved, it's going to be modified to suit the business. That's the really good thing about these sort of collaboration tools. They're exactly that. They're a tool. Think of them like Excel. Nobody creates the perfect spreadsheet on their first attempt. They will go back and come into the spreadsheet and modify it, add a few bits, save it, come back a little bit while later, and continue to improve it till they get it what they want. Same thing applies here. Think of it like that. There is no end result here. It's just a matter of iterating through all the options and working out where the best place for the information is. So once we've got our OneDrive and our Yammer, we then have our Teams. Now, the good thing about that process is that if you start with OneDrive and Yammer, OneDrive is largely just files. Yammer is largely just conversations. So when users come to using Teams, they're already familiar with files thanks to OneDrive. They're also familiar with chat, thanks to Yammer. So Teams isn't as overwhelming. My personal opinion is that if you give people Teams initially, it can be somewhat overwhelming. Where's this? How's this? How do I upload files? It can be very confusing. So my advice is to start out with a single item like OneDrive for files. Get users used to that, working with files, and then graduate to the next level. So again, Yammer and OneDrive first, and then we look at Teams. Now we've also got the ability here to use standalone SharePoint sites. Now, of course, every team comes with its own SharePoint site, but as I mentioned, not all files need conversations, need to have chat around them. Now, a very good example of this would be an archive site. So we talked about in FAQ 1 how you can separate out your data and you have some component of that that will be archiving that you want to keep, but you don't want to restructure, you want it to make available to your users. Now, if you move that into SharePoint, you're going to get the ability to have that searchable. So that makes sense, just lifting and shifting that into a dedicated standalone site collection called Archive. All right, so there's no chats involved in that. It's just a basis that people can search and then start new documents from. So we don't really want to make that a team. There's no need to put all that extra option in there that a team provides. So again, you can if you want, but to my way of thinking, let's keep it as simple as possible. So standalone SharePoint sites is the next thing to consider here. And typically the thing you would use that for is for an archive location or a dedicated extranet where external users can come and pick up that information and view that information and have it be shared. All right, so again, OneDrive and Yammer, Teams, then a standalone SharePoint site to just hold data or storage. Now, typically, we want a corporate-wide intranet. This is the traditional, good-looking, lots of pictures, navigate, those sort of things are there. The communication site within SharePoint is perfect for this. Again, it gives us a nice template to work with, and think about your communication site as being something that's corporate-wide. So the communication site is designed for company-wide policies, procedures, fax headers, graphics, marketing material, and so on. So typically what you would see is that a dedicated team, let's say the finance team, works on documents, say their budget. When they're finished, they would push that completed budget into the intranet, and that would then be available for all users, maybe as read-only. So the idea is each team works on their own individual areas within the Microsoft team they're part of, and their finished or their published result goes to the intranet, which is a communication site. So again, think of the communication site like a newspaper. It's a published area for information from across all the organization that a user can go and find exactly what they need. So in there, you'll probably find things like standard policies, standard procedures, employee manual, anything that is common across the organization makes sense in a dedicated intranet, which is based on a communication site. Now, the final item here in this hierarchy is a hub site. Now, a hub site provides the ability to have consistent navigation, to pull all of these components together in a simple and easy way that can be changed, modified, updated if needed. So our hub site will sit above our intranet and basically provide a link to areas in our intranet, our standalone archive sites, our Teams, our OneDrive, Yammer conversations, or whatever. Now, doing that gives us the flexibility to make changes quickly, restructure without having to rebuild everything. So another important concept these days is to think of a structure in your collaboration environment as typically being wide, not deep. So we don't want to create a single SharePoint site collection with subsites under subsites and directories under directories. That's not generally taken as best practice in this day and age. So really what we want to do is to basically create a flat structure, have as many teams, as many SharePoint sites, communication sites as we need, and then link them together with this hub site concept. And to a user, they just come in, they click on web links, and they move around the structure without really having to know or having to understand what the actual real structure is behind us. This is very much like we see on the internet today. Users go and do a search, they click on a link, they're taken to a website without having to know exactly where that is, how it's hosted, where it lives in the structure. So I think that's a good approach there, and that takes the worry out of, okay, how do we have to structure it? What do we have to do? Again, the idea here, if you have a very flat structure, then you can easily move things around and manipulate the requirements as required. So again, in summary, the framework I would give you starts with data discovery, starts with cleaning up your data, making sure you understand the information you want to take across and reducing that as best you can. Then you want to implement OneDrive for Business to get users familiar with working with files. I would also suggest that you implement something like Yammer to look at getting them used to conversations. Once that is in play, then look at teams. Teams will need a bit more structure, a bit more thinking, a bit more how we're going to create this, who's got the rights. And then look at standalone SharePoint sites just to hold data. So our teams will hold conversations and data, whereas our standalone SharePoint sites would hold just the data. And that makes sense in things like archive sites and extranets. On top of that, we build our corporate-wide SharePoint site or our intranet on a communication site, and we use the hub sites to bring the navigation and consistency of look and feel across that whole environment for our users. So again, this framework is something that you can use, something that you can implement. I implement it on a regular basis. I find it works really well. You can do all of it, some of it, none of it. Again, work out what makes sense. But to go in with a consistent standard framework makes it a lot easier when it comes to these sort of migrations. Anyway, so that's probably enough for this FAQ. Again, if you're interested, please make sure that you do subscribe to the podcast. You let me know if you do have any questions. You can do so at directorcia and also director@ciaops. Of course, our normal long form podcast will continue, but again, I'd love to see people let me know what sort of questions you'd like me to spend a little bit more time deep diving in and giving you some background on or some deeper thoughts. And again, we can build that and go forward. But for this episode, thank you very much for listening.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.